men of genius.
Real men of genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Every year you assemble your closest friends to prepare for another season in the knockdown, drag-out world of make-believe football.
Fourth and inches.
You were born with the one skill every manager needs to play fantasy football. Absolutely no skill playing real football.
Not so good at catching.
Imaginary catches. Imaginary touchdowns. Next up, an imaginary score with an imaginary woman.
Good imagination.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, O Swami of the sidelines. You may come in dead last, but you're always first with us.
Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Hello and welcome to week 8 of the Fantasy Football League, the RBFFL. Week 8, wow, it's racing by. This week we had some really good scores, and some of that was, you know, one or two games, a nice big trade during the week. We've seen some trade activity, two trades, one big one, one with implications that I think we're going to see more of very, very soon. We've got, you know, just changes going on in the league from the team perspective, and probably more importantly, as standings start to fluctuate. Let's just jump straight into it. A big game where the Queens, 159, defeated the Wipeouts, 126. 159 was a pretty common score, actually. Three teams had either 159, two teams had 159, and another team had 160. So some big scores. As I said, let's just look at that. The Queens 159. Even with, you know, the very fatigued Brady. Yeah, 20. 39 for Henry. Wow, 200 yards. A couple of TDs. Thanks for coming. Thielen had 12. 15 for Higgins. A great catch and touchdown. 15 for Ingram, who's actually starting to get a little bit of scoring under his belt now. 13 for Swift. He's back. DJ Moore, 36, just got traded today. It's going to be very interesting. He's going to the Vikings. So he's going to have now Moore and Thielen from the same team. They look pretty juiced up. Carlson didn't score in a shutout. We'll talk about that in another game. And the Colts had 9, so special teams had 9. On the bench, Sanders, 13. Looks good. Mooney, 12. So some choices on the bench. The Queens, are they going to make a late run? They are 159 was enough to beat the Wipeouts, 126, who had that big trade during the week. 11 for Burrow. Jacobs, 7, a little quieter. As I said, that shutout was pretty tough. Diggs, first week in the new colors, 27. 1 to Renfro. 12 to Kittle. 42 to Pollard. Interesting. 12 for Goddard. Special teams had 14 on the bench. 17 for Metcalf. He was put on the bench. 17 wouldn't have been enough, but you know, would have got him that little bit closer. So it was the Queens defeating the Wipeouts. The Costanzas, 160, high score of the week, defeating the Crabs, 115. And just when the Crabs come to town, Costanzas step up big. So they've been, I don't know, the last time the Costanzas actually didn't beat the Crabs. 28 for Hurts, looks great. Gus had 6, a little bit down, back down to earth. Gallup had 8. 12 for Pittman, 19 for Pitts. McCaffrey was outstanding with 39. Waddle had 35. And special teams had 13. Wow, on the bench, Algiers had 16. And Robinson had 10. So some choices on the bench. For the Crabs, it was, just wasn't enough. 115, 23 for Murray, 24 for Jones. Very disappointing. Devonta Adams had 1. 15 for Jefferson. Could have been better. 9 for Freiermuth. 13 for Pierce. 7 for Smith. Special teams had 23. Maybe special teams is now starting to come good on the bench. 22 for McLaurin. And that is the week that the Costanzas once again smoked the Crabs. The Maulers, after the trade, will they run the table now and make the playoffs and not have the right players to make the playoffs? Or maybe they will. 136 defeated the Hamsters 75. Geno Smith 18. Stevenson looks really good with 21. Lockett 13. 25 for Cooper. Hurst had 8. Murray 12. Godwin 13. Special teams had 26. And on the bench, Drake had 16. Walker had 12. Claypool had 12. 25 for Conklin. 10 for Samuel. 19 for Likely. This would be a remarkable turnaround. But maybe it's setting them up for the dynasty to come. Who knows? The Hamsters getting, obviously, the prediction curse at this stage. 75. 18 for Bissett. 12 for Mixon. Jones didn't score. Bateman didn't play. Last minute pulled out. And it looks like he's out for a few weeks. Hill had 8. Harris had 11. Smith didn't score. Special teams were the high point with 26. On the bench, the trade was a little late for Jackson to be put in, although he wouldn't have made much of a difference. 17 for Stafford as well. We don't talk about quarterbacks too much, but it's a pretty good score. And 11 for Hunt. Not much else to report. So it was the Maulers winning pretty comfortably in the end against the Hamsters. The Devils 159. It looked like the high-flying Devils to 103. And of course, the trade that could have, you know, put him in a position to go all the way. Tua had 31, 30 for Cook, obviously the new acquisition, 23 for Evans. Lamb, another new addition, 18. Andrews had 6. Chubb, another new addition, 30. 3 for Higbee. Special teams had 18. On the bench, Gibson had 19. 22 for Wilson. And of course, we've got a couple of players injured. But yeah, definitely some interesting stuff for the Devils. 159, awesome score. 103 for the Budgies. 21 for Cousins, 3 for Taylor, 38 for Hopkins. He's come back with a vengeance. Olave, 10. Otten, interesting, put in 3. 12 for Boyd, 5 for Gabe Davis, and special teams had 11. 20 for Ayuk on the bench, 13 for Brown, 12 for Gesicki. Feels as though that run of wins with low scores may be catching up to the Budgies, but it's still early days. The Cows, 112. Just beat the Muddies, 104. Still unwinnable. Or winless. Yeah, winless. Can't win. The Cows, Carr, didn't score. That was not good. 7 for Mostat. Hill, 35. 22 for Cup. Awesome. I think Cup's had the most receptions through 7 games in history. 11 for Hockenson, 7 for Kirk. Myers, 21, and special teams, just 9. On the bench, Foreman, 36, could have been a great pickup. 16 for Dubs, awesome touchdown. 16 for Duvernay. Not much else, but that's a lot. For the Muddies, 23 for Prescott, 42 for Kamara, 8 for Johnson. Pickens didn't score. Waller didn't score, he didn't play. Montgomery had 6, 13 for Schultz. Special teams had 12. On the bench, Herbert had 15. Rondae Moore had 23. One of those would have been pretty good addition, obviously, for Pickens or Waller, not to be. Still winless at this point in the last matchup of the week. Just double-checking that is the last matchup of the week. Yes, it is. In the last matchup of the week, it is the Finns victorious over, wait for it, computer glitch, podcaster's nightmare. It was the Finns 144 defeating the Dockers 82. putting the Dockers on a little slide, and the Finns maybe some hope. Five for Ellinger. I don't think he's going to be used again. 14 for Barkley, 11 for Cooks, 44 for AJ. Dolcic looks very good. 12, 29 for Etienne, 13 for Ertz, 6 for Fairbairn. Well, special teams had 16. On the bench, not much to report. But they did win. 144 was a good score. To 82, the Dockers. 12 for Allen. Came up against the Packers. He won, but didn't play his best. 14 for Fournette, 2 for Sutton. London, 7. 3 for Fant. Williams, 22. Judy, 18. Special teams, 4. I think the days of playing Sutton and Judy could be coming to an end. But Gordon had 13. Madison had 10. Hollins had 13. Peoples-Jones had 12. So there is some scoring on the bench. But it wouldn't have been enough anyway. So it was the Finns getting their third win of the season. Let's have a look at the standings. Okay, we're 8 weeks in. We have 6 to go. We finish after 14 rounds. So 6 to go in the North. Very close division at the top. 5-3 Coins lead the 4-4 Wipeouts. That's why that matchup was so important. And the Maulers are 2-6. 6 games to go. Maulers end up 8-6. Probably take the division. Not calling it yet. Dockers in the South lead 5-2-1. But now, only a game and a half in front of the Cows. And the Finns at 3-5. Certainly not out of it. This South division is way from decided. So too with the East. The Crabs are 5-3 with a 1-game lead over the 4-4 Costanzas, who have the tiebreaker, having beaten me twice. And the 0-8 Mudcats are working out what to do next year. Should they go for a first round rookie draft pick for a running back? Maybe. Or maybe they reach a little further and not get anything. In the West, great division as always. The 7-1 Devils, who lead our competition. They lead it in a few different areas. They have the most points for 1,100. Just in front of the Maulers, crazy as that sounds. And third are the Crabs. All over 1,000 points so far. The Budgies are 5-3. As I said, they are almost over 225 points less than the Devils. But they're only 2 games back from 5-3. And the 3-4-1 Hamsters are bringing up third place in that division. Wow. Heating up. At some point, I think we're probably due for an addition by an external party. And I'm calling it for next week. And I tell you why. Saturday, heading to Iowa to see my beautiful daughter, Lily. I haven't seen her for 3 months, which is pretty tough. But anyway, she's at college now, big girl. So I'm going to head to Iowa. And I'm not back until Tuesday afternoon, which is usually when I do these podcasts, and I don't know whether I'll be able to. So calling all requests for somebody to step in and do something of any format, whether it be voice, video, or in writing. I may be able to do it, but I may not. So let's have a look at this week's matchups. Week 9. Going to be, again, pretty vital week as we go through the season. The Crabs face off against the Cows. So we're back out of the division for the most part, and we're going to see some pretty important for the final standing matchups. The Devils play the Maulers in the Battle of the Trade. We'll see what happens there. I've got a feeling that there's some, not really too many. It doesn't look like there's too many buys that are going to affect anyone in that one. Maybe a few here and there. Maybe. Interesting. So the Budgies play the Queens. Both 5-3. This is where we sort of flush out who's who in the zoo. The Hamsters, 3-4-1, up against the Wipeouts. I think the Hamsters are death spiraling. They got a big bye week, but I think they had a big bye week last week, so we'll see some some players come back in. Another trade matchup. The Finns play the Costanzas. That'd be very important for the Finns. Hopefully the Finns win that. And finally, the Dockers play the Muddy, so you'd expect the Dockers to prevail. All right, have a great week, everybody. I'm heading out pretty soon, out to the Midwest. I'll see you all in 1 week, and good luck. Goodbye.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. After Halloween Costume Shop Salesman.
Mr. After Halloween Costume Shop Salesman.
For 2 weeks every October, you're the most popular man in town. The rest of the year, the loneliest man in town.
I could use a buddy.
You've had the same costume since 1973, which is also the last time you had them washed.
Something smells like cabbage.
What's your scariest costume? The ballerina outfit just returned by the 400-pound truck driver.
Super duper tutu.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, oh king of the costume, because dealing with you will always be our treat.
Mr. After Halloween Costume Shop Salesman.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.